This recording is for the board meeting of the Emory School District Board of Education on Wednesday, July 15th, 2009, starting at 7 p.m. and held at the school district office in Huntington, Utah.
If you'd all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes, and financial reports for June. Are there any questions that haven't been resolved? And a motion is in order.
I'd make the motion that we accept them as we have received them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have some policy revisions.
Yes, I have, we have five policies. The last one we'll probably need to table for a little while. We have a discussion that we held with regards to salary that has just a fee schedule. There's no major changes in the fee schedule as far as most of them, but the one fee that we're looking at that needs to be revised does involve some discussion of salary. So we'll have to come back to that one.
Okay.
The orderly dismissal policy for professional staff and support staff, we're adding... We had this discussion earlier. We're adding the term unprofessional conduct to the list of grounds for termination. I don't know how it got left out of there, but it was not included in the grounds for termination, and also brings it in line with the Utah Retermination Law with regard to the notice of non-renewal. None of these revisions change the procedures that are in the policy. It just clarifies. It does add the unprofessional conduct and then clarifies in the reduction in force, both for professional staff and support staff, it clarifies the longevity of provisional employees. One thing that we have is some confusion in relation to in years when we have both a non-renewal of a provisional employee and a reduction in force, which we had this past year, there is some confusion as to how seniority or longevity applies there.
Mm-hmm.
And under the orderly termination law, until you obtain career status, you don't have, longevity doesn't apply. In other words, until you're a career educator. Once you're a career employee, then longevity applies in both reduction in force and in other policy areas. But it's confusing right now because there is no seniority until you are at career status after those 2 years. So that's all that does. It adds the unprofessional conduct to the list of grounds for termination and then clarifies the status of provision employees, both professional and support staff, with regard to longevity or seniority. It just simply changes the policy to say that until the employee is a career status, then longevity does not apply. So that, reduction in support staff workforce policy changes the term permanent to career. In all of our other policies now, we have brought all of those into line so that if we talk about career employees or career educators and not permanent, so the support staff are now career employees after 3 years. The term permanent goes away and it's replaced with career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to bring all those policies into line with each other so there's no confusion.
Okay,
so those revisions are simply to eliminate confusion.
So can we make a motion on A, B, C, and D on our agenda to accept those?
I'll make that motion. Do we need to reference them specifically, CCQ,
CBQ.
Yeah, we can in a minute.
CCQA.
Well, we should in a
minute. I move that we approve those.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, we have approval of insurance renewal with Aetna.
In our policy, it does state that our insurance plan is the board approved plan, and so any year in which we make any changes to the plan, we need to have the board approve those changes and the renewal. With our renewal this year, and I'm not sure how much I've talked to you about this, so maybe I'll just give the full story. It won't take too long. But our initial renewal was based on data where over a period of months we had paid roughly $1.4 million in premiums and expended roughly $1.9 million in claims. So we were $500,000 over, which is a loss ratio of about 140%. Which is pretty bad. We were very concerned, to say the least, about our renewal. The initial numbers that came in from Aetna to keep an identical plan would have been about 50%. Our benefits consultants negotiated that down to 34%, and that was the final renewal number that we received from Aetna, was a 34% renewal. Knowing we couldn't go with that, for financial reasons, we had the insurance committee meet 3 weeks ago, Kim? Roughly, I don't remember.
It was done
or something. Okay. But what they do is they send us they send Gallagher Benefits a list of data where they can play with the different options in our health plan and say if we change this, it'll reduce the renewal to such and such percent. So as a committee, we looked at all sorts of ways that we could change some of our benefits to get the renewal down to an area that was manageable. Our initial number that we were looking at and had budgeted for was 15%, so we wanted to go at least to 15%. And what we, I think I included this sheet in your packet.
Okay.
What we ended up with as far as changes, we're changing the participating out-of-pocket match from $2,000 to $2,000 to $2,000. That first number is for an individual. The second number is for family. The non-participating out-of-pocket match also goes up. That one typically will not apply to hardly anyone, if anyone, during the year, because we have a real high percentage of using in-network because we have such a good network with Aetna. The copay, we've had it $10 for both office and specialist visits. We are recommending upping that to $25 for an office visit and $45 for a specialist. I think the industry standard for public employers is real close to that, maybe 20-40 at some, but this is one area where we could really get a large difference depending on what we did, and we felt like it was fair to ask everybody to pay that amount for the office. The $10 has been real nice, but we can't have it anymore. Coinsurance has been 90% in-network and 70% out-of-network. We're recommending to reduce that to 80-60. This is probably the single biggest factor in a reduction of the 80 rate. 80% in-network, 60% out-of-network. That's identical to what we had for a coinsurance amount with the School Board Association prior to this year. prescriptions. We have three tiers, 15, 25, and 40 this year. That would go to 15, 30, and 50. That's a real minor difference. Emergency room visits would go up from 100 to 150. And urgent care, this is one that also allowed us to reduce the amount quite a bit. But the fact that we don't really have an urgent care facility
in the county, and looking at our data, we have very, very few urgent care visits. It made sense to recommend moving that to just the 20% after deductible. The net effect of that was to reduce the renewal to between 13.3 and 13.4%. And as an insurance committee, we all felt unanimously that we'd like to recommend those changes to the school board for approval for our plan, which would start September 1st.
Okay.
Any questions?
And it would still raise the rates to these proposed and
correct.
Like family would be 14-14?
No, the proposed rates in that column are what we would have had
okay.
had we had the 34% increase.
11.
If you go over to rates with plan changes, and we actually asked them to round those numbers off, so our actual rates will be 330 for an individual, 720 for a two-person plan, and then 1194 for a family plan.
Okay.
We did go point by point and compare this with what we would have if we were still with the School Boards Association, and we're either identical or a little bit better in each of the areas. So we still can say that we have a better level of insurance than we would have had we stayed with them. But we do need to reduce from where we're at this year.
Any other questions? We appreciate the work that you've done on the insurance committee and your time to bring all this about. So we'll have a motion for that. To accept the renewal with Aetna.
I know that we do.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Approval of negotiated items with Emory Education Association.
Okay, I put this on Labor Day first. And there will be one little change from when I typed this up. But through our negotiations meetings, what we've agreed on with the association and would like to present for approval is to fully fund steps and lanes for our licensed employees, replace lost funding for extended days and levels sufficient to fund these programs at the current rate of usage, no cost of living increase or decrease. We'd initially have fund 92% and we're going to propose 93.3%. In our discussions, both groups had asked if we could get the renewal below 15% that we look at the difference in that money being taken out of the employee contribution we were looking at. I calculated it and it would be 1.3%, so we'd be asking for a 6.7% employee contribution. And then we fund dental at 60% like we have the past several years, and increase sick leave days for employees in their first 2 years of employment from 5 days per year to 10 days per year. So these are the items that we had a discussion about. I'm happy to answer any questions or
I think I appreciate the negotiation that's been going on and for those that participated on that committee.
I would make a motion that we accept the SSC because we presented it to us.
Second.
All
in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Yeah. Number five, we need a table for a little bit more discussion.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Number five.
Okay, we'll go to the superintendent's report then.
I don't have a printed report for it. The only thing I have is the policies. I also gave you a copy of the calendar that is includes all the school districts in the state just for your information for next year. Also, it's not necessarily an action item, but just in case, unless you have any concerns, parent-teacher conferences are held 3 times a year. One of those is counted as a school day, but the elementary have been holding those at the end of each term, and the secondary have had the option of having them at the end or in the middle at midterm. Have at least one elementary school that would like to hold theirs at midterm rather than the end of rather than at the end of the term. And so I guess I just need to have an opinion from the school board as to whether you want to have that flexibility with the elementary or whether you want to maintain, keep all the elementaries on the same kind of a schedule. What we generally do now is that we have conferences are held during the evenings, usually two nights during the week, and then on Friday there's no school. Or in January, I think it's Tuesday to go along with the or Monday to go along with Martin Luther King holiday. But Fairhaven Elementary has asked permission for that flexibility to go to midterms also. And I told Mr. Dawes haven't talked with the other elementary schools, but it's a matter of whether I guess you want to allow that flexibility for all schools or if you want the elementary to continue to have those at the end of the term rather than.
So is that all of them in the middle? He wants them all in the middle?
No, he just wants, yes, all of the parent teacher conferences.
For
Farron,
right?
He requested that for Farron. And in the past, all of our elementary schools, their conferences have been at the end of the term. And that was for their request initially.
Right. We originally had them at the end of the middle of the term,
right.
And they felt like they didn't have enough time with the kids to have enough information to give the parents. So they requested moving them to the end of the term.
I guess it's just a matter of whether you want to give the schools the flexibility or say, no, we'd like to have the elementaries all consistent and
I think they have a better feel.
Yeah.
How does that affect?
The only problem I have is calendaring, because we do need to calendar at least one of those days of the school day in the same term. So, but we can work that detail out. So it's not an action item, but if you don't have any concerns about giving that flexibility, then we'll talk with those principals. And I really think that the elementary principals is a group option. Send us in consensus of whether they all do the same or have flexibility school by school. But I want to make sure it's not a board concern before I take it to the elementary principal.
I don't see
it
there.
What does he feel the advantage is going to be?
I don't know.
I think mostly the same as the secondary school, so they can kind of get ahead before the end of the term. Midterm, you pretty well know where kids are. And it gives me an opportunity to talk with parents about what they can do before the end of the term of grades come out. On the other hand, having them after the end of the term, before the next term starts, allows the elementary schools to set goals for the kids for that next term also. So there's advantages and disadvantages both ways. In my mind, if kids are struggling and having problems, I don't care whether it's midterm, end of term, beginning of term, teachers ought to be in contact with parents continuously about those kind of things. It shouldn't be
waiting
till the middle of the term and then let parents know there's a problem. So, when they confer with parents formally, I guess it doesn't matter as much as the fact that they need to be in contact with parents on a continuous basis, just particularly if there's problems that are arising and they need to do that early. So, I'll have that discussion with the elementary principal. I just want to make sure that there was no strong objection on the part of the board. other than that, I don't think I have anything tonight. That's it.
Well, we appreciate you presenting that. You probably would rather be home in bed, but thank you.
I don't know about that. I have enough of that. I've actually been here half a day this week, but I'll make a home crash.
I bet. Okay, we'll go to the business administrator's report, Jed.
And I don't have anything just to add that the track and road project that the Canyon View are continuing.
Thanks for those pictures. That was nice.
Track actually, I was over this morning and they're just starting the college core surface. Well, they're actually almost finished it, probably up now. So they'll just need to put the paint, the color on top of it, and then stripe it, and it'll be done.
Okay. Good.
It does look good enough.
Great. Thank you.
It's more than half over now, by the way.
I know. Thanks a lot. We should have done without that reminder.
The phones will pick up again, too.
Yeah.
Next month, school starts.
Any other comments?
We have one that I think we'll do in a closed meeting.
Okay. So we need a motion to go into closed meeting for personnel items.
I move so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That is
not fly. We had one for what did we have? 21 minutes that one night rolling.
No, we had, I think
the pitch is close. Oh, it's amazing.
It's summer.
I'm going to send a record if I'm not here.
Yeah.
Look
at how long-winded Chad is. He goes on and on. On and on. Yep.
It is July.
Well, I have to admit, when I drove around the corner and saw all those vehicles out there, I thought, oh my goodness.
We have to consider, if we need to, a motion to accept JCE's annual fee schedule for high school. Is there a motion for that?
Actually, all secondary school fee schedule.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second
all
that.
In favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and then we have the approval of negotiated items with Emory Classified Association. Is there a motion to accept their negotiation?
I'll make the motion that we accept that.
Second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion to
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second
all
that.
All in favor?
Get rolling home.
Any opposed?
But I also move that we accept or that we adopt the new weighted pupil unit.
Yes.
You like it?
Like that
formula. That was cute.
That was 125.
I'm glad you guys read that.
You gotta read it.
Lou Mullins used to be the superintendent.
That was cute.
He was a jokester, I'll tell you.
Oh, that was funny.
His method of determining weighted pupil unit is.
You're going to weigh all the students.
Since the average student weighs 125 pounds, you're going to weigh all the kids in the district and divide by 125 and start off the year with that.
That
would be the new weighted pupil unit.
It will encourage children to do. They can bring all their.
I thought that was so cute.
We'll get better, Kurt. We can't.
Lily, have you heard any more about Isa down there?
Yeah, I went to visit her a couple times.
Oh, I'm glad you
got that. Oh, that's been tragic. She's, she said she feels a lot better after chemo.
Really?
Yeah, but that's what the doc said she would.
After chemo?
Oh, yeah, because her body was in such defensive mode. If you had cancer, on the attack so bad, it put the cancer on the defensive for the time. And she said I can't believe she didn't realize something was wrong. She said she'd take a shower and have to take a half hour nap before she'd get dressed. She was so tired.
Oh my word.
How did she ever finish the school year?
I don't know.
Oh,
when we had her up here and recognized her, that was, she looked fine.
She's in stage four.
Iva Wilson?
Teacher at Brookless Elementary.
She was here.
Our teacher of the year that we had at Castlebell Elementary.
Castlebell. She has tumors all over.
I was just sick when I
read
that.
Liver. Oh, that's like 15,
4?
Early 50s, yeah.
Too bad.
She's not rolling.
She's got to.
Did
she still
have
family at home?
Well, just her husband is a long-haul trucker, so he's never home. But yeah, her kids are all grown and gone. Yeah, well, it was the son that was up here with her walking.
I couldn't
sit there. It was her son that was up
here.
Sent him a card, but I didn't make it to the
school.
They said the dealing was that they schedule an hour, and they went for about three.
Oh, did they?
And they had people